So, Mr. Jim's gone. Can somebody lead us in prayer? Open us up with prayer. Pray, Jenny. Pray. Okay, this morning we are going to, I'm going to try my best to stay with my notes. We are going to go to Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 9, and I'm going to get as far as I can. Hebrews 13, 5 through 9. So Hebrews 5:13 verse 5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. Now I'm reading out of the NASB. I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. I'm going to read out of the Amplified, the same verse. For God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Assuredly not, I will never abandon you. So let's look at a couple of words in that verse. When I went back and looked at it, what stood out to me was the word that make sure. Why do you think it says to make sure? Yes. Why do you think it's an emphasis? Okay, so really... Yes.
Sure.
Yes. But don't you think he's telling us to make sure that, I'm sorry.
Judge yourself to say, hey, am I doing right according to what the biblical standard of character is?
Yes. Yes.
You will call it the man in the mirror.
Yes.
Looking at yourself and saying, God, according to the standard of character you told me, am I abiding by this? Is this law in my life?
Yes. And so he tells us that because what I'm seeing is, even when I'm going back and studying, is that we have casually served God. And I don't mean that as a rebuke or a negative. I'm just saying the scriptures is saying to me, Faye, look at your character and make sure that your character is in alignment with what my word said and what my heart says. Because in the South here, we are used to going to church, we're used to doing all them things, but when the Word of God, when we look at it, we must look at it as, this is my life, this is what God wants for me, this is what I need to walk up, this is what I need to do. So when we use the word make sure, let's look at, and will somebody get 2 Corinthians 13 and 5? And somebody else, Romans 12, 1 to 3. So what we're trying to do is, I'm trying to give you a basis of where we're going with solving our problems and solving our issues and getting rid of, this is hard. And so the basis of that is what God says, because that's all I have to stand on. Go ahead, Mr. Jim. Mm-hmm. Can y'all hear him? Okay.
This is my command.
Yes.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of the spirits. For the Lord your God is with you.
Yes. And that's where we are now, even in, I don't know if you call it history, but the condition of the world now is 20 years ago, we might have could have relaxed a little bit, but now we are seeing, not hearing it, we're seeing evil more and more. We're seeing things happening more and more that's totally against the heart of God, totally against what he wants. And so sometimes that makes us think, well, why should I submit myself to God? Why should I live a holy life when you're not living one and you're doing better than me? So he's commanding us, he's warning us, listen, I need you to make sure that your character is free. And he's using money there, but free from anything. Any debris that's in our hearts that will cause us not to walk with God, God wants to deal with that matter. Does that make sense? Because it makes us better people. It makes our lives better. It makes us come in alignment with being conformed into his image. The scripture says he came that I might have life. How do I really have abundant life? People think that is, the abundant life is things and stuff and a bigger house, a bigger car, flashy this, flashy that. But the abundant life to me should be where we are drawing closer to God, that we in return make better people, raise better children, have better marriages, just having peace of mind sometimes. That's priceless right now because nobody seems to really be at peace.
We're not perfect, though. That's not what you're saying.
What I am saying is, in my humanity, no, I am not perfect. But I cannot use that as an excuse to do what I want to do. I can't use that as an excuse to go and do what I want to do and to sin when I get ready to sin and to feel what I want to feel and do what I want to do. I can't use that as an excuse. Because what we have to understand is that under that umbrella of God loving us, he loves us enough to show us the right way. And that's what we have to understand. Miss Lynn.
He's also protecting us.
Absolutely.
So the Bible also says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And some people perished in that because they just didn't know it was coming. Well, that's the same scenario with us. We already have the pattern. We already have the path. All we have to do is find the path. Now, I will say this. Some people don't. When you're in an area where people are repetitively doing something, sinning or whatever you want to call it, or even just putting your flesh first all the time, either you don't know, and so you have to give grace, and God does give us grace, thanks God. Either we don't know, or we know and we choose not to do. But the real thing about character is you have to bring, when we're making sure, and we'll keep going with the examining yourself, we have to make sure that the things that we are doing, our job is to make sure that the things that we are doing, because we say we are Christian, is walking according to God's plan. That's all we're saying. If we don't walk according to God's plan, what does the world have to look at to see Why should they want what you want if you're doing what they do? I mean, I'm serious. I'm serious. Why should they? Why should I have restraints? Why should I come over here and say that I'm a Christian or I want Jesus in my life when the people out there that's doing what they do, they got what I got? So what's the difference? The difference is we have a helper. We have help. That God loves us, but he loves us enough to tell us the truth. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something. Might get in trouble for it, and that's okay. We live in a world now where even the church sometimes does not tell you truth. What they tell you is a story, or they tell you this or that. But our job, our mandate, the Fivefold Ministry's mandate is to tell you what the gospel says. We are nothing but a sign. When we point up to Jesus, Jesus comes through and we give you what he says. That's all we are. It ain't nothing great and grand like people put up on a pedestal. But somebody has to make the division. To be victorious, we have to step over into the line where God wants us to step. Now, part of our problem is our flesh. It wants to do what it wants to do. And we have all them appetites that we had before we were saved. We have all them habits we had before we were saved. And all God wants to do is come into our life, and he wants to transform us into what he wants. He wants to deal with us to say, okay, I don't want you to do this, and I don't want you to do that. But he does it in a way that the gospel is preached, and after the gospel is preached and we hear what the word of God is saying, after we read what the word of God is saying, then we take ourselves and we like the scripture says, we humble ourselves under the hand of God. And that's his word. That's what his word says, which comes through the fivefold ministry. That's the hand. But then after we humble ourselves under that word, we take our hearts to God, and then that's where our surrender of our will to his will becomes, and that's where God has to do the work. Does that make sense? And so then that takes away our fight to make it happen. Does that make sense? And so let's go back to when we say make sure, we're talking about examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, who has it? Anybody? If you don't, I can read it. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 said, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. It's not telling you to look at anybody else. It's at yours. Now, I'm going to say this. If you respond, that's fine. When I was studying this, and I thought about, we always say to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. What you believe, but yes, more than what you're doing. So if what you see in yourself, your deeds, your actions, your behaviors that you practice, if that is not in according to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his plan, then your actions are of your own flesh. And flesh cannot be glorified in the presence of God. Fleshly actions do not bring life to a situation, and that's what we are striving for. That's what he promised us. He promised us life and abundant life, but not abundant life after our flesh. Because flesh will only yield what it has been taught to do or what it has tasted of. The appetites, that's where flesh will always default to. And so because I live in this body and because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then when something comes up in me, he governs me. That's my first default. That's what I'm practicing, that my first default be, okay, Lord, what do you want to do before I get upset, before I say something, before I do something that may not be out of your heart and your character? Okay, Lord, what do I do? And that's not always an easy task. Because sometimes you want to react. You want to show the other person that you're not going to do this to me. You see what I'm saying? But then what if God is working with me in that area and say, Faye, I don't want you to do that. Remember what I told you last week when he said to me? He said, Faye, when will you ever obey me and do what I ask you to do so that I can shine through you and the world can see. The world cannot see him through my attitude. The world cannot see him through my smack. I'm serious. The world cannot see him through the cuss. He can't see. That's the goal, y'all. And I'm not telling you that it's easy, but I am telling you that it is durable because God is with us. He said he would never leave me and he would never abandon me. So even in my hard time, even in my hard place, he is still there to help me, trying to point me, Faye, I need you to do this and this and this instead of this and this and this so I can come along. See, when my flesh is on board and my flesh is doing, sometimes we think that God puts his approval or his even his spirit upon my flesh. He does not. What you are doing is you're over there in an arena by yourself. And you think he is with you because you do not feel a sudden, you don't feel a sudden reaction from what you just done. But he is not. This is the stuff, y'all, we have to understand so that when we come before God, we come from him with a pure heart and with character, that we can allow him to come in and help us. That's what I need. I need him to help me. Every single day, I need him to help me. And then your dependence would then come away from you and back to him. And that's where he wants us to be, because he always wants to, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, he always wants us to be in a place to where when he speaks to us that we hear him, that he prompts us and we hear him, and then we'll say, okay, Lord, I trust you in this situation more than I do me. So give me the strength to do what I need to do. And most of the time with me, I don't know about you, but most of the time with me, that is, baby, quiet. Just be quiet. Don't say nothing. Just be quiet. And then that allows God to come in. See, I want to get to a place where he governs me. Not just that I come into church. Not just that I'm coming to Sunday school. This here is inside of me. The scripture said, let me pop over here right quick and I'll come back to that. Let me pop over here right quick to, I think I need to tell. For when we have a problem, Hebrews 13 and 5 says, you are not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Train ourselves to default to God before we panic and get our composure back. There are two things that he gave us. He gave us a helper. He told us, number one, we're not alone. So I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care how bad it is, you're not alone. The goal is that we don't give up and quit. Because sometimes, y'all, in life, you know as well as I do, especially some of you that have lived longer than me, there are some things that come across your life that you just simply say, just let it go, forget this. Just forget it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to whatever. But then you go to sleep, and the next morning, where are we at? The problem didn't go anywhere. That's why I never could understand why people drink so much when they have a problem. Oh, I'm just going to get drunk. Well, after you get sober, the problem's still there. Well, it is. So why not just take that time to get some information to find out, what do I need to do with this problem? Sometimes when we're in the midst of stuff, we have to find out, it is your job to find out what you need to do. I cannot just go to Lynn. Lynn, you know what? I got a headache and this ain't working. And then I go from Lynn and I go to Miss B and I tell Miss B and then I tell Pepper and then I tell Junior. And then John come home and I wear him out with it. You know what I'm saying? And ain't nothing changed. So where will I just stop and say, okay, God? See, y'all, even in him asking me, what do I do? Where will he lead you? Just in prayer. When you pray and you get quiet and you listen, where will God lead you? Talk to me, y'all. Where will he lead you? I can't hear you. But where will he lead you? Say, Naomi, say, if you had an issue that was beyond your natural senses, you know, like normal stuff, you know, like, we know that, you know, if
I cast my cares on God, because he cares for me.
Yes.
She's quoting the scripture. It's always back to his word.
Yes.
It's always driving.
Yes. But where was my default a minute ago when I had the problem? My default went to Lynn, then it went to Miss B, then it went to Pepper, then it went to Junior, then it went to John. Now, I'm not saying this is the good thing about sometimes like that, too. It's a good side to that. Because we are our brother's keeper. So if I have a need, I can come to you and I can say, Miss Pat, will you help me with this? This is my situation. Nothing wrong with that. In getting counsel, we get godly counsel. And what I mean by that is when Miss Pat should be saying godly counsel is, Miss Pat should be saying the same thing the scripture is saying. That's godly counsel. Godly counsel lines up with word. I love relationships. I do. I love relationships. I love to come together, home groups and all that stuff. But we have to stay focused sometimes on bring that thing back to the word of God. Even when I'm in a group of women, girls, and we talking, I always tell them, I'll listen to anything you got to say. You can put anything on the table. But we coming back to, at the end of this thing, I can't solve your issue. So we coming back to, what does God want us to do about this situation? God, how can you help me come in alignment with what you want? Help me to come in alignment with what you want. Help me to come in alignment with what you want. And most of the time, it is not the devil, because we blame him for a lot of stuff. It is us. It is us. That's why we have to make sure that our character. Now, I'm going to go right here real quick. Examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. I just read to you how we can look at something. Do you know that, again, when you have a problem, I want to grind this a little bit. Even though problems won't go away because life is life. So just like if you needed money, you would say, well, I can go get a loan if you don't have it saved up somewhere. Well, that's the same way as us with anything. You cannot be lazy in your walk. Whatever you're facing, you go to the library, you go to wherever you need to go, but you find a solution. And our bottom line is we want God's solution. Why do I want God's solution? But tell me another reason why. Yes. But at the end of the day, I can't fix it. But I know if I'll follow his plan, he will rest upon whatever he told me to do. He will come in and do what I cannot do. And that's what I'm banking on. Lee had his hand up. I'm going to go to Mr. Lee, and then I'll go to you.
I can't hear.
Yes. 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 Yes, I got that too. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. A lot of things she just said was in my same notes. Y'all, we have to create, I'm telling you, we have to get to the place to where we don't just casually let things boom, boom, boom. If we're dealing with something that's hard, let's stop. Let's stop. You know, the bad thing about humanity is we'll keep doing the same thing expecting a different result. And a woman years ago, she was a woman that wrote an exercise book. She said, that's called insanity. We do the same thing over and over, saying, God, I'm doing this, bless this. And nothing is happening, and we don't even think. Nothing is happening, and he's not blessing it because he's telling you to do it. That's us. And so we got to shake ourselves to where we get to the place, to where we do what our minds get to where we do what we're supposed to do. And I know it seems like I'm fussing. I'm not. I'm just trying to say I'm going off of what I see. I see people constantly. Oh, it's just so hard. I just can't do it. It's just, what is hard about it? Find what is hard and name it. Put a name to it. And then go to God in prayer. Ask him. But then do your own research and go find in the scripture. If you got an issue with hate, you don't need to be reading about money. You need to be over there after you pray. I'm serious. I'm serious as a heart attack. You need to be over there. And when you read those scriptures, God, help me to humble myself under what you say, because I'm tired of this area right here in my life. You know what we need sometimes? Sometimes we need to get sick of us. We just need to get sick of us. We come and we prance and we do and we sing and we praise, and all those things are wonderful. But God is after our heart, y'all. He's after what I do. He's after how I'm expressing him in the earth. Mr. Jeff, you wanted to say something?
Well, I heard that someone say that 60% of ministers use AI to build their sermons and Bible teachings and different things. That's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful today. We're just not being lazy. You know,
yeah.
Get in there and say, tell me about the life of Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why, you know, when Phyllis was talking about it, it's important to know the word. And that's not just getting on, looking at AI and saying, oh, I got to do this thing right now, and I just plug in some stuff and pull up whatever. Even if you do AI, it will tell you, verify this. You know, so it's not. I have people pull up on a bill report, and they'll just pull any old one thing. But
yeah. We do. We really do. The other day, a lady was had a little blurb on, and she said that she wanted to share something with people of how she really studies Bibles. But she said she ran across a newer version, and when she got to the scripture in Matthew where it talks about the healing, Jesus' healing, that was not in there. The verse had been removed out of one Bible. That was in her original. It had been removed in the newer version. And so even with that, we have to be more careful. And we have to, that's why we have to really home in on God, give me truth. Give me what you want. Listen, you know what? The Spirit of God is so keen. It is so keen till we will come upon a situation and he'll speak to us and tell us and we'll override. Because we haven't trained ourselves to listen. He will not. He will go before us, behind us, around us. He will not allow things beyond our control to bring harm to us unless we are not listening. And we are not listening to his promptings. The helper that he gave you is this. The helper he gave you is in John 15, 26 and 27 when he said, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify, tell you about me. And you will testify, tell you also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Then he says this, and this is the major one. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. Number three, John 16 and 13 says, howbeit when he said the spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show, disclose to you things to come. So what has God given you on the inside of you? He gave to you. What has he given to you? Sure. What she was basically saying to us, the woman was, is to be careful about what you're reading and how you're reading it and making sure it's true. That's basically what she was saying. But you brought up a good point there, Lynn, when you said, but let's deal with that whack, okay? Let's talk about the whack. Yeah, no, wait a minute, listen. So sometimes, y'all, we get hung up on jargon. In other words, to me, constrain and control, or what, is that the word you use, constrain?
Yeah, like when God comes up with his handcuffs
on me. So to me, unless I'm wrong, constrain and control to me is kind of the same thing. It's not something that would bother me because it just don't. But the thing I want to bring attention to is, you said, I don't like the word control. I don't like to you what it means, what it seems like. But when we are, and that's us, that's how we are. We don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't know nobody doing much or nothing that we don't like because it comes against how I feel. But what if? Is the Spirit of God not to control us? It's just words. All I'm saying to you is it's just words. We don't. Limitations. That's just limitations to me. Yes.
Rule and act as your umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in the peaceful state to which as members of Christ, our body, you were called to live and to be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God. He's the umpire that makes us have peace. If we don't
yes.
have the
Yes. But I don't care how God brings something to me, just bring me what's right. You know what I'm saying? Just point me in the right direction. And I don't want my flesh to get in the way. That's the point I'm trying to make, is I don't want my flesh to get in the way to where I argue with something that God has told me to do, even though the wording may not settle with me. Does that make sense? Sometimes I will let, you know what I'm saying? And y'all can't pay me and Lynn no attention because me and Lynn do this all the time. But anyway, because we just want to be plain. We just want to be plain. And when I want us to remove all those obstacles that keep us, if the word of God tells us to be sure of your character, I want to get all of that stuff away from me that will not allow me to see, be sure, that will not allow me to examine myself, that will not allow me that when the scriptures tell me to do something, to do it. That's all I'm saying. Yes, that, hold on, Mr. A, and then that, the lady back there, I can't hear. Yes. Yes. And that's all I'm talking about right there. When she was faced with something, she went before God. He told her exactly what to do. Boom, that was it. Brought me back to a place of peace. Mr. Ed. Absolutely.
My habits and life, the woundedness in my own heart, the devil's throwing distortion and lies. And anyway, I feel like I'm kind of like this blind guy that's kind of keeping my way along through all of this stuff. And so I'm just so grateful. I just want to say today, I'm so grateful that my Heavenly Father is patient with me. He doesn't give up.
Absolutely.
When I get it wrong, he'll forgive me and pick me up and put me back on the right track. But I just want to say it keeps me in a very humble
Absolutely.
Kind of a place to say, Father, I am so weak and unable and just kind of doing the best I can here. I need you every day.
Absolutely, we do.
I need you so much to help me. And when I miss it, thank you for
Yes.
being back.
Absolutely. But still, that governing factor still has to come back to what the Word of God is saying. And when will I get to a point? I agree with you 100%. To say something and to do something is totally two different things. But when will we bring our wills under the will of God so that he can deal with that distortion? He can deal with that hurt, the very root of it, matter of fact. When will we come to him instead of, because... You know, sometimes, y'all, when we pet and we pamper, and I don't mean that in an ugly way, we will always need God. I would never be to a place that I do not need him. Never. But when I will I rise from the occasion, from a baby to a toddler that I can walk, and eventually to an adult so I can take care of myself, so to speak, in the natural. But when will I rise to the occasion where, just like Pastor John preached the other Sunday, that whatever my issue is, that it no longer has dominion over me. It no longer rules me. That's the one I'm saying. When will I have victory? When can I you know, mount up and say, I will not let this conquer me today? Amen. When will I get to that place? You see what I'm saying? Because he came that we have life, and that life more abundantly. That life that he's offering me, y'all, he understands, because he is God. We are in this world. He understands everything that we face. But in the battle of facing whatever that is, let him be my default. Let him show me how to get out of it. Let him give me victory in that area. Do you see what I'm saying? When will I get to a point where whatever that is no longer rules and reigns in my life? Yes. When you said that right here, the renewing of the mind, Mr. Ed, I agree with you 100%. I am not saying what you're saying is not. I don't know why that this class has been just differently from the other ones that I have done, to where I just really wanted to woo, and it was just like a solemnness, you know, a thinking. Listen, I want to get to your heart. I want to get to your heart. But over here, God gave us even a weapon for that. When he said in Romans, this is what he said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man. I don't want y'all to misunderstand. I need God every single day, every single moment. I thank God for his mercy and his grace every day. But what we have to do is we have to get to a point to where we grow up. My children, two of them are sitting over there. My children, if they are now, how old are you, Junior? You what? What'd you say? What did he say? You know where you need to go at the Sunday school. At 47, I do not want Junior have to feed him, take care of him, change his diaper, keep him out of, he up on the table, he everywhere doing whatever toddlers do. That's not going to happen. When we grow up in God, y'all, when we allow him to come in and do the work in us, then we can go out and we can help others and bring them in the kingdom. Babies cannot do the work of grown people. They may want to. It may look like it. I'm not even belittling the experience that you had. But this is one thing I know. God said that all things were possible with him. Nothing is impossible. He said if I come to him, he'll heal me. After he heals me, yes, I know the experience that I had, but the grip of where it held me is no longer there. Do you see what I'm saying? That's no longer there. That's the freedom that I'm looking at. It's when I come to God and I bring my heart. I'm coming because I can't fix this, God. But I know if I just come to you with my heart and say, God, this is where I'm at, that he'll strengthen me and he'll help me, that tomorrow I can be a little bit stronger to get through this a little bit better. Because, y'all, sometimes you don't know who's watching you. But God is our source. He is all that we have in this earth to function. But we must grow up in him so that he can do the work, even us, to do the work of the ministry. Babies can't preach the gospel. Babies can't be evangelists. Babies can't be prophets. Babies can't be teachers. Babies can't pastor churches. They can't. They just cannot, because they haven't been developed. So I'm saying to you all, let us come before God and say, God, help me to get beyond this so I can get, it does no longer hold me captive. That's all I'm saying. God, help me. You told me you would not abandon me. You told me that you was with me. So in the midst of that, like you said, Mr. Ed, when it's easier said than done, that is when I come and I humble myself under God's word, what he's saying, and then I go to him in prayer, and in prayer, I submit my heart and surrender to him, and then he comes in and he does the work. And therefore, change will come. That's what I'm looking for in Faye's life. I'm looking for change in every area that he wants me to have change in.
Not timidity. You know, we're like you said, we're not babies anymore. We're to act like we're mature adults. You know, he gave us a spirit of power, and we have to stand on that. Power, love, and discipline.
Yes. Junior lives in Tampa. But Mama, I need you to pay my water bill. Mama, I need you to send me some food. No, baby, what I need you to do is I need you, when you get your paycheck, I need you to pay your rent, I need you to pay your water, and I need you to pay your Duke Power and buy you some food. And then with the rest of your money, you can do what you like, if that's what you need. But no, Mama needs you to be responsible. Because you know what? I need you to grow up into a man to raise a family and take care of children. But first, you take care of your home. I know it seems like I'm fussing. I'm not. I'm just, my heart is that I just want us to get to a place to where we stand in God. We're just not saying, well, Lord, I love you. You know what I'm saying? Take it to a different level. Show me you love me. We always talk about God loving us, but do we love him? Do I love you enough, God, for you to tell me or to show me or to correct me to go in a different way that may help someone else and myself? I cannot allow what has happened to me to ruin my life. That's why I come to God. If it's not going to change, why did I come to him? That's my life. That's my abundant life. So I hope I have said something to help you. I hope you don't take it as fussing. but it, you know what I'm saying? Right now, it is what it is. Like I told you last Sunday, if you see me going off a cliff and you don't tell me, you tell me you love me, you're lying. Because love will stop me. Love will stop me at all costs to save my life. We just see love sometimes as the patty cake. But God is saying, listen, honey, I need you to grow up, Faye, because I want to take you somewhere, but I can't take you until you grow up. I want you to do it. I want you to, but I can't take you there until you grow up. You know why? Because I can't trust that you're not mature enough to handle what's coming down the pipe. That your flesh might show up if somebody say something crazy to you. You see what I'm saying? That's where he wants to get us. And I'm gonna tell you something. When you're married, I tell you that's a tool itself in God's hand. Because you gotta submit to God and a man. You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest with you. That's the example. So I just thank y'all this morning for giving me your time. Again, I hope I said something that will help you. And please go to Hebrews 13:5-9. Read it for yourself. Dissect it for yourself. So, and allow God to speak to you, because all my desire is to help you find a better way. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, God, for you loving us. I thank you, God, for keeping us all week long and bringing us back. And Lord, I understand that we're all thinking differently, but Lord, you know how to bring all of us to the same pool and get the same understanding so that we will glorify you and that we will magnify you in our lives and in even this world to be an example. So Father, as we leave this place, Father, but never your presence, never ever your presence, Father, I thank you, God, that you are with us. I thank you, Father, that you've given us help. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Father, you said you gave us the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God inside of us to guide us and to lead us into all truth. God, help us find truth in the areas of our life that we need that truth. Help us, Father, to bring ourselves under the authority of your word, God. Help us, Father. Do a work in us, God. Do a work in our hearts, Father, in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.